What would you say to someone who says that the Bible is out of date, the Bible was written by, you know, human beings, so therefore it's full of human errors? What do you say to a person that says that to you in this day and age? Let me get you thinking about this question as well. Why do you think that the Bible is still relevant today, in our day and age? I know sometimes people will say, well, that was written thousands of years ago. How is it relevant today? Well, in just a few moments, we're going to be looking at the perfect law of the Lord out of the book of Psalm chapter 19. Grab your Bible and come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If you have that Bible handy, go ahead and turn it on over to the book of Psalm chapter 19. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be looking at the perfect law of the Lord. As we start off our broadcast, I ask you a question or ask you how you would answer somebody who would make this sort of a statement. You know, what do you say to someone who says that the Bible's out of date or that it's full of human error? How do you answer that question? You know, what do you tell them? Because the preacher said so, or because mama said so, or whatever. Listen, you've got to know why you believe what you believe. And there are some answers to those questions. We're going to look at those in the book of Psalm chapter 19 as we discover and discuss the perfect law of the Lord. So as you've turned there, we're actually going to begin reading at verse 7 of Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, and this is how it reads. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and right and righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for your word, which truly is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that as we take these times to just gather around your word, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to clear our minds that we might truly hear from you this day, that we might be drawn close to you this day. Father, we just pray that if there's anyone who is walking outside of your will or your way, that they would truly seek you and seek your word, that they might repent from the sin that is besetting them, and that they may find joy in their heart once again in their walk and in their relationship with you. Father, we also pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that your convicting power, particularly through the gospel message, would resonate with them today, and that you'd give them strength to give their life over to you, that they may have true and full life for the rest of the time that they're here on this earth. So, Lord, bless our time together. Use this, your servant, as your speaker at these moments, that you would be true, high, and lifted up as we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we were looking at just several of those verses that come out of our text today, but in this particular psalm that we're looking at, David spoke of the excellence of the Holy Scriptures, and as he did so, he used six different synonyms for God's law, you know, things that are alike. Now, let's go back to it in our text, beginning there with verse 7. And notice what he said, and we'll count them all. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony," that's number two, "of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments, that's number four, of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. Then nine says the fear of the Lord. That's number five, enduring forever. Then the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There's six different things, six different ways that he is describing the Lord's word, you know, and what it should and how it, you know, what it does as far as meaning for you and I. Now, when we think about that for a minute, what exactly is the law of the Lord? Now, yeah, sometimes we can think about that in an easy way. And you go back and you think, even if you're looking at it from the biblical standpoint and say, well, I remember they had the laws that Moses, you know, put forth. In other words, they're the guidelines, the law of the Lord. This is how the Lord wants us to function. This is how the Lord wants us to do in keeping with his laws, rules, precepts, and so forth. And we'll get into a little bit of that more in just a moment. But the thing about it is, the law of the Lord, it's how he wants us to go forward. And he gives that to us in his word. That's what it is. His word is the law of the Lord. Now, one of the things that I've always said is that a law is something that, I'm not saying that it can't be changed, but in most cases, law, if something is a law, and particularly if you're looking at it in science, a law is something that happens 100% of the time. You know, you may have heard of the law of gravity. Well, most of us know that. If you've ever hit the ground real hard, you truly understand what the law of gravity is, which essentially means that, you know, the earth is pulling down on objects. You can't just hold something out and let it go and it float in the air. Now, you can if you're in a spaceship and you're in outer space, where the gravitational pull is not there. But the law of gravity says that if you are on the face of this earth and you drop something, it is going to fall towards the earth 100% of the time. It's a law. I've always liked to call the passage that talks about sowing and reaping, you know, where the word says, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I like to call that the law of sowing and reaping, because it's going to happen 100% of the time. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You can't go out and plant apple trees and expect oranges to grow. So when we think about that in terms of our conduct, and when we think about those things in terms of what the law of the Lord is, it is something that happens 100% of the time. So when we talk about the law of the Lord, it also says that, It says that we should be perfect. You know, what does it mean to be perfect? Some of y'all are sitting there thinking, well, I can tell you right now, my spouse is perfect, you know, and being facetious along the way. But the law of the Lord is so that we can follow that law. Perfect doesn't mean that you're completely without fault. It means that you're doing the best that you can. I'm talking about in a spiritual realm here. That there are no blemishes along the way. I mean, there have been times when, particularly somebody may be in a jewelry store and they will say that is the most perfect diamond of its category. And, you know, that means it doesn't have chips or flaws or blemishes, or it doesn't have quite as many. If it was perfect, it would mean that it didn't have any. Now, you and I know that there was only one that was perfect on this planet that ever walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was perfect. But when we think about this, and we think about God's word, and we think about the law of the Lord, think about what are the ways that the law of the Lord revives the soul. Now, I want to go back for just a minute because, at times I was talking to somebody about this passage this past week, and they said, well, you know, they said the way that's written in that particular translation is a little bit confusing. I want to go back to verse 7, and I want to give you verse 7 in a different translation. This is the English Standard Version, but it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, okay? What does it mean to be perfect? In this particular case, what that means is that it is blameless. That's what perfect means in regard to the scripture here. So verse 7 ESV says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, I like what it says down in verse 8. Now, when we read it in the New King James, as I read it to you in our text, it says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And then that stops there with a semicolon. In the ESV, it says the precepts of the Lord are right. Notice the difference. New King James uses statutes. ESV uses the word precepts. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So let's talk for just a second about what is a precept. What does that mean? There have often been times in my ministry where somebody will come up and they will say, well, what does the Bible say about, and then call it whatever, put your variable in. Or what does the Bible say about X? Or XYZ. What does the Bible say about that? And it might not be something that the Bible comes out and specifically says, thou shalt not XYZ. But yet we know and understand that from the heart of the Lord and what we get through His Word, that to do X, Y, and Z is not a good or a right thing to do. And in knowing that, that essentially means that there are precepts of the Lord. There are precepts of the Word of God that tell us that we ought not be doing this. Now, often when people ask me that question, you know, I what they're really trying to do is determine whether or not they're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z without it being held accountable against them. Because sometimes people will say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't do X, Y, Z. And of course, you know, you could counter that by saying, well, the Bible doesn't say that you can X, Y, Z either. So, you know, you have to look at how it fits in the greater picture of your spiritual walk. How does it fit in the greater picture of the spiritual life? I know that there are times that when we get, when we're in the New Testament, particularly with Paul, you know, Paul said, you know, when I was with, the Jews, I did as the Jews did. When I was with the Gentiles, I did as the Gentiles did. And a lot of people would say, well, that meant he was playing both ends against the middle. Not necessarily so. He just knew that if he was with a group of Jews, that there were things that the Gentiles would do that would be offensive to the Jews. So therefore, he abstained from doing those particular things while he was with the Jews. But now when he was with the Gentiles, that was perfectly, you know, he would do those particular things. So he was trying not to become offensive. He didn't have issues. He didn't see that there were problems with that. So essentially what happened was, you know, as long as it's not violating God's law or God's principle, that's the thing you have to understand. Now, we also have to be careful as well, because there may be things I struggle with that you don't struggle with. You might be able to go do some things that aren't necessarily against God's word, but you don't have any internal struggles with something. Maybe it's watching a movie. Maybe what you look at. Maybe it's language you hear. It could be so many other things. But maybe I don't. Maybe I'm not so good at that like you are. Maybe that's something that could cause me to slip, trip, or fall spiritually. So I need to be extra guarded against those particular things. But so the precepts of the Lord are the things that aren't thou shalt not X, Y, Z. But yet you know through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that the Word of God says that you ought not do those type things. So that's just kind of giving you an example about precept, which we will discuss here in just a few minutes more at a little bit greater length. So when we think about the law or the law of the Lord, in what ways does the law of the Lord revive the soul? Now, when we keep talking about the law of the Lord, we're talking about His Word. We're talking about, you know, how the Lord communicates with us. So how does that revive the soul? You know, there are times that particularly if you are a Christian person and you have to go in the workabout everyday world, there are things that are completely, you know, counterintuitive and counterproductive to spirituality. They are counterproductive and counterintuitive to what the Word of God says or what the law of the Lord says. But, you know, it's just something sweet about, you know, you've been out in the midst of that battle and you come in and you take that opportunity and you're spending that time with the Lord in His Word, and it just revives the soul. Now we understand what it means to be revived, to have renewed strength along the way. And by the way, that's something that happens as well. You know, when you take the opportunity to gather with Christian brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord on Sundays or on Wednesday or whenever it may be, any chance that you have to be able to get together with Christian brothers and sisters, it should revive the soul. You know, you realize you're not out there alone. You're there for the common cause. So there are extreme ways that the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, revives our soul. Man, it just fills us up. It encourages us along the way. And man, if there was ever a day and age where God's people need encouragement from one another, it is in our current day and age, because the world is so, you know, counter to everything that is Christian whatsoever. So, you know, think about this. How is it that the law of the Lord is also the testimony of the Lord? You know, the Lord, I love what was always said about this. I used to hear it when I was younger, and I didn't always understand what it was talking about up until later on. But yeah, I'd always hear the preacher say that that the word of the Lord is a living word. I mean, you know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, well, it's not living. It's a book. It's got pages in it. It's got ink on the print. How is it a living word? And then I began to come to a greater understanding of what the Bible says, what it means, particularly when it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Yet this is who He is. This Word is also His testimony, which makes it relevant to every circumstance and every situation in your personal life, where you are right now. You know, if people sit back and say, well, how can that be? It can only be through the Holy Spirit. But I've mentioned before that I've known what's going on in the hearts and lives of the congregation that I know, and I know some of the heartaches and struggles that our people have. And I may preach a message on a given Sunday, and then having an opportunity to talk with somebody, either shaking hands at the door, or later that day, they say, well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, you were preaching that right at me. And knowing their circumstance or situation, I could see how it would apply. And then, you know, a few people later, here's somebody completely different circumstance, completely different situation. And they're like, I'll tell you one thing, preacher, you were preaching that right towards me. And there are times when I've sat back and said, I don't know how you could get the relevance out of the message that was preached today toward the circumstance that you're going through. But here's the other point. I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can make this true word, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, come to life in every heart of every listener that gives heed to His word. It will be for you where you are. The question is, will you seek Him in His word? Now, yeah, David also tells us about the testimony of the Lord, and as he goes forward, he says he makes wise the simple. Yeah, I like simplicity. Particularly the older I get, the more simple I like things. You know, complexity can just completely mess things up, because I'm not a complex thinker, as it were. So I like it simple. I like, you know, the old expression, the KISS method. Keep it simple, and I'll be careful because I'm not sure what audience may be listening. But, you know, you've heard that before. So I try to keep it simple. The gospel is so simple that a child can understand it, but why is it that we try to complicate it so much? Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not some complexity in your situations that you may be seeking God about. They may be very complex, but I will make you the promise, the answers to those questions that you have and the guidance that you need is right here in the Word of God. What does it mean to be wise? You know, there can be some smart people. In my personal opinion, I think there's a difference between being smart and being wise. Some of the smartest people I know can make some of the most unwise decisions that I have ever seen before. So what does it mean to be wise? It's to take heed of the things that you hear, the things that you see, the things that you know along the way in God's Word, and then apply them. Folks, listen, if you are not applying what you're learning in the Word of God, if you're not making application to your life, then you're missing the point completely. That is what it's all about. It's not good enough just to simply learn something. How do you make application to what you're learning through the Word? You know, you may learn throughout the Word that there are things that in the letter of His law that says, thou shalt not do this. Well, that's pretty straightforward. So it's not really a wise thing to go out and do that. Now, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you before you do and say, look, the Word of God tells us that we should not do these things. We should not go these places. We should not, you know, keep the type of company that we may be keeping. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's convicting our hearts along the way. The question is, are you going to be wise enough to follow the heat of the Holy Spirit. Now, I honestly believe that the majority of the problems that people have today in our society who claim to be a Christian, and I'm trying to be kind as I say this, the problem is we claim to be Christians, but we don't spend any time in His Word. We don't spend any time getting to know Him. We don't spend any time becoming wise to the ways of our Lord, that we might withstand the wiles of the devil as we walk in this world. That crazy word that you hear oftentimes called apologetics, that doesn't mean you're saying you're sorry for something. It means that you know why you believe what you believe. You can take a greater stand when you know why you believe what you believe as you go forward. But to me, I've often said it is extremely critical. You may learn a lot of things from the Word of God. You may learn a lot of things as the Holy Spirit teaches you, but if you're not making application to those things in your life, what good are they? You need to apply what you learn. And so what happens is at times the Bible doesn't conform to your life and my life. It's about making our life conform to His Word, not His Word conform to our life. And I see a lot of that going on in our current generation. Well, we like this part of the Bible, but we don't like this. We'll just take that out. Folks, you can't do that. You have to take the Bible from cover to cover, and there's going to be places that you'll be saying amen, and there'll be places that your head's going to hang, but those are the things that we need to make sure, as far as in our life, align with the law of the Lord, and the Lord also gives us His testimony along the way in doing so. So what does it mean to be wise? It's not just knowing, but it's also applying, okay? God's law also is a record not only of the thou shalt not XYZs or thou shalt XYZ, it's also His precepts, and we talked about what those were a little while ago. In other words, it may not be written in black and white, but you know exactly what that means. And not only does it have a record of His law, a record of His precepts, but the Word also has a record of His commands. Folks, His commands are not suggestions. And for some reason in our current society, we want to take those things as suggestions from the Lord. Well, they're not. They're commands of the Lord. You know, the Word tells us that here are things that we should do. He tells us as believers, there are things we should be doing. We should be spending time with Him. We are commanded, not suggested, to forgive our brother when our brother has wronged us. You know, we are commanded to treat our fellow human beings in the same manner that we would like to be treated. You know, remember the old golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These aren't suggestions. These are commands. But I think too many times we're taking them as suggestions and we're not doing what it is that God wants us to do. So He teaches us. His law, His Word, is a record of His laws, His precepts, and His commands. And as we come to learn those, there are ways that through His precepts, and I like using precepts because that's where people like to color in the shades of gray, they can help us to rejoice in our heart. You know, when God has victory, and we don't do the things that Satan wants us to do, there's victory there. There can be rejoicing in our heart along the way. And it also says that His commands enlighten our eyes. You know, if you don't know, and all of a sudden you're looking through God's Word, and then you begin to see. I can't tell you how many times that folks have come up and they're like, I see now. I see what it is that God is saying here. I see what it is that He's wanting us to do or whatever. You can plug yourself into that situation because as a believer, you should be plugged into that situation. So the Word of God will enlighten your eyes so that you may see the ways that God would have you to go, the ways He wants you to walk, the things that He wants you to do. Not only the things that He wants you to do, but the things He doesn't want you to do. You should be able to see those as they enlighten your eye, as our scripture tells us. So now think about what does it mean that God's precepts are right and that His commands are pure? Well, He doesn't make any mistakes. You might not like the advice that you hear from Him, or you might not like the commands, the precepts, or the suggestions that you hear from God. That doesn't make them wrong. And the one thing we can rest assured of is that His precepts are always right and His commands are always pure. One of the things that I have to say a lot today when I talk with people who are having disagreements between themselves is the fact that, you know, at times it's just because a person does something in a different way than you do doesn't necessarily make their way wrong. It just makes it different than your way. I think sometimes we can get so caught up on the fact that we want people to do things our way that if they do it any other way, that makes it completely wrong. But the one thing that we need to understand is that when it comes down to God, His precepts are always right. He may not be answering your prayer the way that you want Him to. You know, you may be sitting back saying, well, Lord, I want You to provide this. Well, I like what a fellow said one time when he came up and he said, you know, the Lord has promised that He would provide all my needs. And the guy said, well, I'm in need of an automobile. I need transportation. So what he did was he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, I need transportation. It's not a want, it's a need. And then the next day, a guy gave him a bicycle, and he was riding that bicycle back and forth to work. And when he saw the other fellow that he was talking with before, he said, you know, he said, I've been praying and God didn't answer my prayer. And the fellow said, well, what do you mean God didn't answer your prayer? He said, well, I've been telling Him, and it was a need. He said, I told God I needed transportation, and God didn't provide me with an automobile. And the fellow said, well, you know what? Yeah, He didn't provide you with an automobile, but you asked Him for transportation, and yet are you not riding a bicycle? Well, yeah. Where did it come from? Well, a guy gave it to me. Well, when was that? It was the day after I prayed for it. See, you know, what we were thinking, if that was us in the situation, we'd be thinking that God's going to provide us a brand new Lexus sport utility vehicle when God knows what we need, not always what we want. He will provide all of our needs, not always all of our wants. So the man's prayer was answered. God provided him with transportation. It wasn't quite the level that the man wanted, but remember what the word tells us, that God's precepts are right, meaning they're correct, and His commands are pure. You know, there's no wavering. You know, you can see exactly what it is. So how is the law of the Lord related to the fear of the Lord? Let's consider that for just a moment, because sometimes when people think about fear, they think about it in a way of being like scared or trembling. You know, I think too, I think some people should be scared and trembling in the if they think about being in the presence of the Lord at any moment right now. But in this case, in the biblical case, it's talking about a reverence of the Lord. Fear the Lord. Reverence Him. I want to give you a passage, another Old Testament passage, which is actually out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in verse 8. It says, the grass withers away, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Remember what I said a moment ago? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word is God. Although the grass withers away and the flower fades, the Word of God is going to stand forever and ever and ever. And that includes throughout all of eternity. You know, you can say what you want, you can think what you want, you can scoff all you want to, but someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That verse that we just read in Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, you have to ask yourself, how are Isaiah's words consistent with David's statements that the fear of the law of the Lord is enduring forever? Well, they're parallel paths. You're pretty much saying the exact same thing. Now, you know, David says God's law is to be more desired. No, now think about that for a minute. When you desire something, it means that you want it. Now, David is telling us in our text that God's law is more to be desired than what? Okay, let's go back to verse 10. Now, verse 10 of our text says this. It says, more to be desired are they, meaning God's law, God's precepts, God's commands, more to be desired are they than gold. Gold. And then that verse goes on and says, yea, than much fine gold. In other words, we should desire the word of the Lord. We should desire His commands. We should desire His precepts. We should desire to make Him smile more so than gold. Once again, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey of the honeycomb. Man, and you know, people are sitting back going, oh, well, you mean I should desire that more than a gold brick? Absolutely. That's what he says about the desire. Now, what does he say in our text that God's law is sweeter than? We just read that, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Now, how will you ever know that unless you take the time to get into it? Are you desiring God today? Are you seeking Him today? Are you taking the time to spend with Him in His Word? Are you taking time to spend with Him in prayer? You know, does your current desire and hunger for God's Word reflect that you believe these words that we have just read in the book of Psalm? Let me ask that again. Do your current desires and hunger for God's Word reflect that you believe what is being written in our text today? Yeah, now you may have answered that question either one of the two ways. You might say, yeah, I do have a desire and a hunger for God's Word. And some of you may have said, you know what, I don't. I'm curious as to what's going on there. Then I encourage you, if that's you, to seek the Lord. Get on your knees in prayer. Talk to Him. Let Him show you where there may be errors or their way. Maybe it may be that what's happened is that you trusted Christ and you are one of His children, but you have disconnected from the vine. Remember what He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, but that branch has to stay connected to that vine so that it can get its nutrients and so that it can grow. Are you connected? Are you a believer that is disconnected from the Lord? Today would be a good day to reconnect. What are your current desires like? What are they telling you? Okay. See, when you're inconsistent in reading and studying your Bible, what does that say about you? And what is it that you miss out on? Well, it says to you that, first of all, evidently, if it's not worth your time, it says, well, spirituality is not worth your time. If you're so inconsistent in that means it's not important. If you're inconsistent in studying your Bible, it means that you're not looking to it for the direction. And man, the list goes on. There are so many things I could say about that. And I know that there are some of you out there may have just got mad at me and you said, well, you just don't understand. I'm busy and I don't have time. Folks, look, don't use that as an excuse, because if you don't have time for God, then your priorities are all completely out of whack. And I will make you another promise that if you make time for God, then what's going to happen is your priorities will rearrange and there'll be plenty of time for you to do the things that you so desire to do. But yet always keep consistency with being in touch with God through His Word. It speaks volumes about you. If you're a Sunday Bible reader, did you bring it on Sunday? Well, shoot, man, even the day and age we live in now, people don't even bring them. We put them up on the screen up there. Look, take care of your Bible with you. You know, read it during the week. Write in it. It's not going to hurt anything. Write in it. I hope and pray that your Bible's got so much writing with what God's showing you that you'll have to buy a new one before long because you can't read anything else from the notes that you've been taking in it. Go ahead and do that. You see? Now, David also gave a closing prayer in that particular passage in verse 14. Let's look at it. In verse 14, his closing prayer is this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Now, when you think about that for a minute, let's back up. Let the words of my mouth, the things I say, what comes out of my mouth, you know, how I deal with my coworkers and my neighbors and my friends and my children and my wife and anybody else. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, are the things that you are thinking about, the things that you are meditating on, the words that you're saying, are they acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Yeah, that's what David's prayer. His prayer is, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When the Lord looks at your life, when He looks at how you view the perfect law of the Lord, are you following it? Are you getting in? Are you getting close to Him as you go forward? Okay. We've always said we need to look for examples to follow. David's example to follow in this particular passage, at least one of them, is in that verse 14 in his prayer. What a great example. When you take that time to do that daily Bible reading, you know, are we following David's example? And are we saying, Lord, make the things I say and the things I do acceptable. May my heart, may the things I meditate on, the things that I give my time to, may they be a joy in your presence and may they be acceptable to you. You know what we need to pray for today? Today we need to pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in the sight of Him who is our strength and who is our Redeemer. And that's what we're going to pray in just a moment. But let me go ahead and give you what our Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're changing it up a little bit. This week, we're going to be reading Proverbs chapter 1 through Proverbs chapter 3. Again, I'm giving you, I know that's not 5, that's only 3. But Proverbs chapter 1 through Proverbs chapter 3. Next week, we will discuss trusting in the Lord with all of our heart out of the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, as we prepare to close out our Bible study today, please remember to keep our Cuba team in your prayers as we travel to the mission field this Friday. Please pray for the Lord to accomplish great things through this team, not only through this team, but also for this team. So please keep us in your prayers. We're leaving this coming Friday, the 10th of March, and we will spend that week over there being missionaries in the hands of the Lord in whatever He sends us to do. Okay, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close today. Father, You're good to us. We thank You for Your word, Your perfect law, and Your testimony that teaches us, Lord, that guides us in each and every aspect of our lives and each and every decision that we have to make. Lord, I pray that we truly would follow the example that David was giving us, that we would spend that time with You, that we would know what Your laws are, know what Your precepts are, know what Your commands are, and that, Lord, not only would we know them, but in applying them to our lives, we might follow them in such a way that we would be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, today may the words of our mouths come out in such a way that they magnify You. Lord, may the meditation of our heart be acceptable in Your sight, and may You give us the strength to go forward day by day as one of Your children until we have such time to see the kingdom. So, Lord, give each and every one a special blessing this week. May they encourage someone, and may they be encouraged by someone as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you right here next week. Remember, pray for our Cuba team leaving Friday. Have a great week.